Good morning, it's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. The Institute of Human Virology at the University of Maryland, based here in Baltimore, won a major grant to work in Zambia last week to prevent mothers from passing HIV, the HIV virus that causes AIDS, to their children. The Institute has worked extensively in 7 African countries and in Haiti and Guyana, as well as here in Baltimore, for 2 decades. The grant got us thinking, how does the Institute apply its work overseas to its efforts here in Baltimore to fight AIDS? How different is the treatment and impact of the virus in Baltimore compared to other nations? Are there surprising overlaps in how care and community support can happen here and abroad? Here with us in the studio are 2 doctors from the Institute of Human Virology at the University of Maryland. Dr. Robert Redfield is Associate Director and heads the Clinical Division. He's also a professor at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. His research focuses on new approaches to HIV treatment. Good morning.
Good morning.
And joining us is Dr. Alashle Abimiku, who divides her time between Baltimore and Nigeria. She's associate professor at the School of Medicine and is also director of laboratory diagnostics and research at the Institute of Human Virology in Nigeria. Her research focuses on HIV prevention, especially in mothers and children. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
And I should disclose that I sit on the advisory board of the Institute of Human Virology. Dr. Redfield, the Institute's been working in Baltimore since the mid-90s. Can you give us a short version of your approach to HIV treatment in Baltimore?
Well, I think, Sheila, the key in Baltimore is to try to effectively get people diagnosed, engage them in care, keep them in care, and then get them on treatment. And when we first came here, probably the university was caring for less than 200 patients with HIV infection. Now we're caring for a little over 5,000. The city of Baltimore has close to 15,000 people living with HIV infection. The state of Maryland, between 34,000 and 35,000. The complexity is that of those, only about 30% of them are effectively engaged in care. So majority of people in our city and our state living with HIV infection today are still not effectively engaged in care.
And I hear you describe that, and I'm thinking, how different is that from some of the countries in which you work in Africa?
Well, prior to President Bush started in PEPFAR back in 2004.
PEPFAR is the President's Emergency Program for
AIDS
Relief.
Right. Prior to that, only about 25,000 people in sub-Saharan Africa out of 25 million were on treatment. Today, over 13 million people in sub-Saharan Africa are on treatment. So major change. So that if you had asked me this question 10 years ago, I would tell you that the United States, Maryland and Baltimore are far ahead of sub-Saharan Africa in effectively gauging people in care. The reality is now, because of the PEPFAR program, which has been continued under President Obama, that really it's pretty much a tie. That probably in some countries, is, for example, in Botswana, over 66% of the people with HIV infection are engaged in care and on treatment. And as I said, and so they're... I think there are lessons, and you're going to get into that. There's lessons that we've learned in Africa that can be brought back to America, and there's lessons in America that can be brought to Africa.
And the big news right now, this grant that the Institute received for work in its Zambia, $50 million over 5 years. Briefly, what do you do in Zambia now, and how is this grant going to change that?
Well, a number of years ago, about 2002, I think the President of Zambia and the First Lady came to the Institute and asked for some assistance in dealing with the AIDS epidemic in Zambia. And we were able to put some professors over there, Rob Schoenberger in particular, who's the principal investigator on this grant. And then when President Bush had the PEPFAR grant, we actually partnered with Catholic Relief Services, which is headquartered here, and Catholic Medical Mission Board, which is headquartered in Westminster. And we won the grant to put people onto treatment in Zambia back in 2004. So we've been working in Zambia since 2004. This grant is now going to expand that activity in partnership with the Ministry of Community Development and Maternal Child Health, which is the Ministry of Health of Zambia, where we're now their technical partner to really reach out and make sure that all, first and foremost, all pregnant women get effectively engaged in comprehensive antiretroviral therapy and prenatal care. That their children, if they're born and they're infected, were immediately put on effective antiretroviral therapy and care. And then this grant will expand our partnership with the ministry to bring antiretroviral therapy throughout the country of Zambia in a community setting.
Dr. Abimiku, I understand part of your work in Nigeria is getting government officials and researchers prepared for clinical trials for a vaccine. Tell us more about the importance of developing partnerships across groups in Nigeria.
All right. With the relationship that we have with the University of Maryland and the Institute of Human Virology, we have an affiliate in Nigeria, which is the Institute of Human Virology Nigeria. And really, that partnership is to engage not only Nigerian scientists, because a lot of activities in developing countries is very important that the leaders, the government officials are fully engaged in what you're doing, because they really have a strong influence in the community, and that there is that environment and the policy that allows one to provide the best care that is available globally. So a lot of the work that I do is to build that partnership and to convince the government that they've got a long-term partnership with the developing countries, because this is a global world and there needs to be really collaborations across board in terms of how best we do this. And especially with the PEPFAR program, this is funding that is coming from the people of the United States, and it just made sense that there would be collaborations between the government and the communities to be able to utilize this funding in the best way that would take care of the individuals in the country based on how the government officials perceive it and how the community feel it would help them. A part of the work that I do there, link the community with the government officials, and because I am also involved in research, it's easier to build the credibility and the trust, so that it's not like we're taking information from the West and just overlaying it in developing countries without understanding the local challenges. Is really working with the information that we have and working with the local authorities so they understand the tools that are available and apply it appropriately.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with two doctors from the University of Maryland's Institute of Human Virology, Dr. Alashle Abimiku, who does research both here and in Nigeria, and Dr. Robert Redfield, the Institute's Associate Director. Getting back to Zambia for a minute, what are the parallels? You talked about lessons that might apply from one place to the other between Zambia and Baltimore.
Well, I think one of the most important things, if you look in the United States today, the difficulty in effectively gauging people into a successful treatment so that we can suppress the virus is no longer diagnosis and it's no longer treatment. The real problem is linking people to clinical care and keeping them in clinical care. And in America, we started a pilot program you've done on the show before, the JOCS Initiative, which looked at using HIV-positive people and people affected by the epidemic to become treatment coaches to help other people be successfully treated, to help effectively engage them in care. It's a model that works. Unfortunately, it's not widely used throughout the United States. It's not widely invested in. In Africa, there's many people living with HIV infection or affected by HIV that have chosen to volunteer their time and energy to help make sure other people get effectively treated. So if you look at this linkage to care and keeping in care, where in America we may have less than 30% of the patients living with HIV infection effectively continually be linked to care, in Africa, once we start care, it's probably in excess of 80% stay effectively linked to care. So,
do you think that's primarily because there's more involvement of people living with HIV in coaching others?
I think there's more community commitment to help each other succeed, whether that community commitment is at the level of the village chief, the family surrounding people that are HIV infected. I think in America, there's been less emphasis on putting extended commitment of family members to help people succeed in their healthcare needs, community organizations, church organizations. So a lot of people are confronting their illness pretty much on their own. And when they do that, particularly with HIV infection, there's a tendency for it not to maintaining care. And when you don't maintain and care, then in fact you're not going to be successfully treated. So in a sense, Africa has been much more successful than we have in America. One last example, if you look at new infections in Africa, they're going down. If you look at new infections in America, they haven't changed in 15 years.
Dr. Bimiku, is the same thing true in Nigeria?
Yeah, as Bob was speaking, I was just remembering a program that has been very successful in HIV-infected mothers, and this is called Mentor Mothers Support Group. And these are HIV-infected mothers that have gone through care and are on treatment and are adherent to their drugs and are helping new mothers that are finding out that they're HIV positive and trying to educate these mothers that it's not the end of the world. If you take your antiretrovirals and you make sure you bring your infant for prophylaxis, they're given some drugs to make sure that they stay virus free, your children are going to be saved and they will not be HIV infected. And that program has really worked very well in terms of experienced HIV positive mothers taking young mothers under their care.
I wish we had more time. I've got so many more questions. Thank you both. Thanks.
Thank you.
Dr. Robert Redfield is Associate Director of the Institute of Human Virology. Dr. Olashle Abimiku researches HIV prevention and is Director of Laboratory Diagnostics and Research at the Institute Center in Nigeria. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead, poems from Billie Holiday on the eve of her 100th birthday. Stay with us on 88.1.